Common thing, I have the bun, I have an egg, I have a thing, and I eat it in kosher.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Exactly.
We're beginning the Rambam Hilchas Shvisas Asor, which literally means the laws of resting on the tenth, which really is the laws of Yom Kippur. And in the Maznaim text, it's page 150 and 151. With God's help, by Wednesday night, we'll finish this. Because there's no reason not. Because it's not so hard, so we should be able to accomplish it. And there are four particular mitzvahs that this laws will tell us about, and the first two are going to be told us in the first halacha right away, and we'll find the rest shortly after that. So let's begin. Mitzvah saseh, it's a positive commandment, lishpos mimalacha be'efsor l'chodesh ha-shvi, to rest from work on the 10th day of the month, of the 7th month, which is the month of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Shabbas, Shabbason, hi lochem. A Shabbos of Shabboses, it is for you. Meaning, it is a day of rest. So you fulfill a positive commandment by resting on that day. Also, Kol Osa Bo Malach, anyone who does work on that day, Bitel Mitzvah Saseh, you have nullified a positive commandment, and at the same time, Ve'ovar al lo saseh, and you've transgressed a negative commandment, shenemar, because it says as well in the book of Bamidbar, Ubasor, etc., on the 10th day of the month, kamalach lo sasu, you shall not do any work. So there's two aspects, as with, similar to Shabbos. There's the aspect of refraining from work, that means to ensure that there aren't things that can distract you from the holiness of the day. And then to be in a state of rest where you can focus in on the spirituality of the day.
So shamar v'zachar.
Same identical. As shamar v'zachar.
It's not similar, it's identical.
Yes, yes. So, although it's different commands that have been stated for. This is
right.
For Yom Kippur. It's a different mitzvah. Okay. Now, the fact it's going to be on Shabbos, well, that's a whole thing. And that might be the topic of our discussion between Mincha and, between Musaf and Mincha and Yom Kippur. Right, leave that. How do you do? We always have a long class.
We need to know it before that, though?
No. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying, you have two aspects. It's Yom Kippur and it's Shabbos.
I don't know all the things I did wrong.
We'll have to see. I mean, Rama's not going to discuss this, but you'll see some very interesting theoretical questions we could be contemplating as we go a little bit further. Anyway, that's what it says. So you're doing two mitzvahs on Yom Kippur right off the bat. Now, what would he be obliged if he would transgress and do malach on this day? What way does he get punished? So im atza bir sono bizodon. He's using two different adjectives to describe. If he does it bir sono, it's something that he wants to do, meaning it wasn't forced, right? Bizodon and intentionally, meaning he knows it's prohibited to do it. And the Torah says you're not allowed to do it, so he did it willingly, and he knows he's not allowed to do it. Chayiv kores, he gets
well.
Yes, he gets kores, as
off.
It says, and he v'chol malach asher tasa kol nefesh asher tasa kol malach. If anyone does work on this day, v'avaditi asa nefesh mikarmai, will cause his soul to be lost from amongst the Jewish people, and lost is kores. It is not like Shabbos.
No, don't.
As he will reiterate that in the next halacha. That's if he did it intentionally. He knew he was supposed to do it, was supposed to do it, there were warning, everything. Kares. And for that, the matter, you don't need a warning either. It's not going to make a difference.
No, you don't need a warning.
It warms or not. Because, God, I mean, as long as he knows it's usher,
yes.
And he knows it's the wrong thing to do, and he willingly did it.
That's it.
Because the Bezin does not enforce kares, as we've said. So he gets kares. Now, what if he did it unintentionally? Where he either didn't know you weren't allowed to do it, or he didn't know today was Yom Kippur, then chayev korban chatos kavua. He is chayev to bring the set korban chatos. In other words, the one that is brought, everyone brings the same way. There's certain korban chatos depending on your wealth. But this one's the same. You bring the same korban that everybody brings for this, for violating it. Base.
Just a question on the sword. So in a case like that, all the people who are, let's say, driving to the shul.
That's not good.
He said it's not good.
No. So I'm saying, so the kares, shouldn't really the kares go on the leader? Because the leader is allowing that to happen for his congregation.
It's not good for anybody. First of all, there's a lot of facts. If they don't know it's Usher, if they don't know it's Usher, then it's a shogeg. And the leader's not going to, because he didn't do it. He's only causing them to do it. Things he doesn't. He's not. Don't worry, the leader's got other problems he has to deal with.
Well, he has the Rambam says that the biggest sin is to cause the masses to go
astray. So I'm not exactly sure what the point of your question.
Because he's the Rav of the congregation. The Rav is allowing
the Rav
loosely said.
I'm saying loosely,
no one's encouraging people to drive. No one's telling people to drive, right? An Orthodox shul would close their parking lot, right? They're not going to start asking anybody who calls them. I think, are you driving or are you walking?
For the freeman, you didn't ask if people were driving.
No, I'm just saying. So, people, and that's a whole different story. People are going to drive anyway. We're not. No one's condoning driving. If you have a type of a temple where the parking lot is open and they offer valet parking and all these things and they definitely know you're coming and they're encouraging you to drive and all these things, then that's one story. Here, they're going to drive somewhere. Anybody who's driving is driving somewhere, so they might as well drive to a place that will try to be makarza. So I'm not exactly sure what the issue is. They're going to be driving anyway.
Are you talking like a conservative shul, Ron?
Yeah, I'm talking about a conservative shul.
That's what I thought you meant.
That's why I said
conservative. So I don't understand what the issue is. So it's very wrong what they do. What do you want me to tell you?
No, but they're getting courage. Where the lead, where I'm saying the lead.
Well, they got to know what's wrong.
The shul.
Again, I don't know if they. Again, I don't think they believe they know. Listen, they're getting courage for a million reasons already, all these people. Because they're transgressing so many things. It's all unintentional. Okay. Yeah, but. It's a moot point. Most of these people are not very connected to Hashem anyway.
They do know it's wrong to drive.
Do they?
Yes.
I don't think the conservative rabbi tells them it's wrong to drive.
They know it's
why are they keeping the parking lot open? I can't believe that they would say it's wrong because they keep the parking lot open. How could they say it's wrong and keep the parking lot open? You'll have to call up the conservative rabbi and get an answer for that. I can't help you with that. Listen, it's not a good situation. I don't know what else I could say. Is he going to get caught? Let's move on. Base. Kol melecha shechayom al zdoina v'shabbos kila. Any prohibited activity, right? Any one of those 39 prohibited activities that you would do, and if you would have done it on Shabbos intentionally, you would get stoned. So you do the exact same thing on Yom Kippur. Chayovim al zdoina. Be'asar kares. So you get chayv intentionally doing it on the 10th day, you get kares. V'chol shechem alav korban chattas for Shabbos, and whatever you get, have to bring a korban chattas for doing it unintentionally on Shabbos, chayv alav and korban chattas for Yom Kippur, and you'd have to bring a korban chattas on Yom Kippur. There's certain things that are not allowed to be done on Shabbos, which is not really a malacha, a prohibited activity, but, for other side reasons, we don't do it. Also, Asr Lassos be Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Kippur. These could be things that the rabbis prohibited for doing. Certain types of muktzah, certain things like that. We're not talking about one of the 39 biblical. So you can't do it either on Yom Kippur either. And they must, if you did, mean you're going against a rabbinic law. So this is just like Shabbos. Makanos and Makas Martis will give you rabbinic lashes for transgressing it. Think there. Shemakanos on Shabbos. We would lash you for Shabbos. Because also Talib Shabbos, whatever you can't carry on Shabbos, also Talib Yom Kippur, you can't carry Yom Kippur. Even though Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov, which you could carry on, but not for Yom Kippur. That's like Shabbos. Because also Omra, whatever you can't speak about, or do initially on Shabbos, rabbinically, B'Shabbos, Kachlas, B'Yom Kippur, you can't on Yom Kippur either. Klolo Kaldover. What is the rule? Aim Bein Shabbos, Yom Kippur, and Bein Yom El. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur in terms of what the punishment is, Ella, except for Shizdon Malach B'Shabbos Skila. If you intentionally do a prohibited activity on Shabbos, you get stoned. Ubi Yom Kippurim, B'Kores. With Yom Kippur, you get Kores.
So in the English.
But there are other differences, yes, which will be explained later on in subsequent halachas. All right, so we will we'll see. For example, on Shabbos, if you didn't know a number of different activities were prohibited, do a number of different ones, you bring a korban chatas in each and every activity. But on Yom Kippur, no. You don't. So that's one of the differences. But this is the primary difference. I mean, you can't do anything different, exactly the same, only difference in terms of the punishment. That's really the only difference. Intentionally, is it kares or is it stoning? So now this would be an issue which we're not going to get into. So what happens when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos?
Oh boy.
What do you get hit for here?
You get both.
You know.
Do you get both? That sounds like a Gemara kind of question.
So I'm saying, so that we're not going to go into that, but you can already see what kind of questions there are to be asked. Now, if you do anything unintentionally, it's still Korban Chatos.
Right.
But then you could ask another question. Would you have to bring two Korban Chatos or one?
Because you violated 2 days.
Right? Because it's Shabbos and Yom Kippur. It's two separate, it's two separate affairs. It
surely is.
Would there be a death penalty in Kares? There's all interesting issues. That maybe we'll discuss it another time.
I think we review Kares as a worst punishment.
But either way, you can't do it.
Well, through death penalty, right. At least you get the Olam HaBa.
Right. But you have to think about it. Which is more severe? You know, in areas of Kedusha, you know, it's a very complicated thing. Which day is holier, Shabbos or Yom Kippur?
Shabbos.
Which is, and on many levels, in terms of holiness, Shabbos is a holier day.
Right.
Shabbos whole day by the fact that the punishment, death penalty, is a greater punishment than Kares. All right, it is
tshuva.
It's hard to do tshuva from a death penalty.
Once you're warned, why have to tshuva? Once they warn you and you do it, you're going to get killed. That's it. If you get Kares, you could do tshuva and get out of the Kares.
You do tshuva afterwards out of Kares. Death penalty is hard to do.
Another tip off that it's a holier day is, you know, the holier the day is, the more people are called up to the Torah. How many aliyahs on Yom Kippur?
Six.
But
seven.
On Shabbos?
Seven.
Damn, make sure we allocated seven aliyahs and not six. Just to make sure I didn't make a mistake. Right. So it's a holy day. Although Yom Kippur can accomplish certain other things that Shabbos can't, but clearly it is a holier day from that end. Okay.
Shabbat.
So we'll see. There's going to be a drusha. There's going to be a drusha later on to say, because there's other things that are not allowed. There are extra things that you don't do on Yom Kippur, but not necessarily. It is part of the Moadim. Remember, all the Moadim, all the holidays, emanate from Shabbos.
Well, that's the first one it's mentioned.
That's what it really says. Sheshes Yomim. The Gra learns. Sheshes Yomim Tasam Lachtech V'Yom Eshvi Shabbos Lekecha. 6 days you work and the seventh day you don't. So what does that mean? So Vilna Gaon learns 6 days means the 6 days of the holidays of the year you work on your Avodas Hashem and on Shabbos you don't. So what are the six? First day of Pesach and...
Last day of Pesach.
That's two. In Eretz Yisrael.
Right. First day Shavuos
is one more.
It's three.
3 days of Rosh Hashanah.
3 days of Rosh Hashanah.
Well, we'll see. Rosh Hashanah will start with one.
Okay.
Start with one for Rosh Hashanah is four.
Sukkot.
Sukkot's first day
is
five.
Five.
Shemini Atzeres
is six.
Six? What's left?
Shabbos.
Yom Kippur.
Seven.
What do you do the second day of Rosh Hashanah?
Well, that's rabbinic. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. So it's seven. So that's the 7 days. It all comes from Shabbos. Even Yom Kippur, there's work to be done. It's big work to be done.
It's an avoda.
You have to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. Shabbos, you don't do anything. You're already there. Shabbos, you're there. Remember, Shabbos, you're in the world to come. There's nothing higher than that. It's nothing higher than that. Yom Kippur, you're not in the world to come because, remember, on Shabbos, do you do tshuva on Shabbos? Do you do tshuva on Shabbos?
Well,
no.
Well,
you do on Erev Shabbos.
You do the tshuva
on
Erev.
No, avoda of work.
But Shabbos is a day of return.
It's a day of return, but not a day of tshuva,
right.
Per se.
Oh, it's a different type of
tshuva.
You don't
say vidu, you don't do any of those things, right?
No, nothing like that.
So you're returning to God, to the world to come,
right.
But you're not doing tshuva per se.
I'm
just saying, that makes Shabbos beyond anything else. On the other hand, Yom Kippur has a lot more stringencies than the other day. Right, that's a whole.
So that's what they mean when they say
it's holier. Christ. Yom Kippur is holier in terms of that you're less involved in this world. But the ultimate holiness is to be involved in this world the way Shabbos is
in a holy manner.
Okay, yes, sir. We may not finish in 3 days. That's okay.
So it's 6 days and then Shabbos, and then you name
Yeah, so that's the Shabbos Shabbos. It's the Shabbos Shabbos. So Yom Kippur fits into that. But all the holidays come from the Kedusha of Shabbos. And Yom Kippur as well. Shabbos came first, before any holidays. So Shabbos, it all comes from Shabbos. Shabbos is the world to come. Those other holidays give you the tools to get to the world to come. So that makes it a higher level. There's certain things about Yom Kippur that are holier than Shabbos insofar as that you're not involved in this world. But ultimately, and that's the Shabbos Shabbosim, where there's so many things you cannot do. More things, can't eat, all those other things, but that doesn't make it intrinsically a holier day, and the point is that you see by the punishment that it carries. Okay, Gimel. Umutar lekane v'sayerek b'yom ha-kippurim. You're allowed to trim vegetables on Yom Kippur, mina mincha l'mala, from mincha l'mala. Mincha here means mincha ketana. Mincha ketana means 2.5 halachic hours before sunset. And from that point on, you could begin to trim the vegetables. But before that, you're not allowed to do that. Now, why are you trimming the vegetables? You're trimming the vegetables because you're going to want to eat after Yom Kippur. So I know there's going to be all kinds of questions, but that's what it's saying. You're allowed to do this, but you can't do it before. Before you can, because maybe you're going to forget yourself, and you may eat a little bit, but by the end, but getting close to the end, you're conscious that it's coming to the nighttime, and you won't break your fast. But right now, the Rambam says, we've got a lot more to read yet, you may do this. Now, what is this exactly? Umawa kinuf. What is this kinuf trimming? She also saw only ma'amu upashos. You remove the moldy, deteriorated leaves. The katse sashar and cut away the rest. The atakon selochil and prepare it to be able to eat. Okay. Now, v'chei mafatzim begozim. You can crack open nuts. Umafachim berimonim, and you can also open up the shells of the pomegranates, mina mincha lamala, from the mincha hour and beyond. And what's the reason for all this? Mipnei agmas nefesh, because it causes you suffering. So now, what is the interpretation of causing you suffering? So one interpretation is, means they say, so you should not be suffering, meaning that you should have something ready to eat when Yom Kippur is over. In other words, what he's saying is, because, you know, there is a problem here. What's the main problem? Since when can you start preparing food for after Yontif? That's what's really happening here, isn't it?
Exactly.
So he's saying, you know why? Because you haven't eaten all day. So normally on Shabbos, we're going to say you can't prepare something from Shabbos to the next day or Yom the next day. But what's the problem? Okay, you want to make it convenient next day. But you're not starving. You haven't eaten for 24 hours, my goodness. Can you imagine now? The fast is over. Okay, now I'm going to start preparing my food.
Oh, boy.
And you're dying.
Did you prepare the day before?
There's no refrigerators.
No, there's no refrigerators, my friend. Remember, it's not, you can't do all these things. It's not that kind of world anymore. No prepared foods in advance. Right? So therefore, that's one shot. So you shouldn't have all this aggravation afterwards. Rashi does the opposite. He says, you know what? It is more, Yom Kippur is a day to suffer. So it's a bigger suffering if you prepare the food and you can't eat it, and you can't eat it. So if you prepare the vegetables and you can't eat it, I really wish I could eat it. But you can't. So maybe you could say both shut them together. You're suffering more now and it'll take away suffering later. So that was the beginning halacha. However, that's the first thing. But the Yom Kippurim Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. But if Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, I guess in Shabbos is a holier day. Aser B'Knivas.
What is it says here? Kvar Nahagu
Ha'am. Oh, I'm not up to there yet.
Okay.
You're a line ahead of me. And Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos. Then Aser B'Knivas Yerek Ubefisas Egosim Frichas Rimon Shechol Yom. You can't do any of those three activities all day long. Why? Because then people would mix that up with a regular Shabbos. If people would see you doing it on a Shabbos Yom Kippur, you could figure you're doing a regular Shabbos. Well, if you just went on a regular Yom Kippur, they wouldn't mix it up with a Shabbos. However, after all is said and done, and this is what we have to remain with, Ukfar Nago Am B'Shinar Ubamarav. However, the Jewish people have conducted themselves in Shinar, which is Babylonia, and Marav means the west, is Eretz Yisrael, because it's west of Bavel, You should know, whenever the Gemara calls Israel the West, always calls it the West. Why is it called the West? For us, it's the East, right? Because we didn't write the Gemara in America. They wrote the Gemara in Bavel. Bavel was wet east of Eretz Yisrael, so Eretz Yisrael was called the West. So therefore, already it's already been the minhag for a long time. You don't do any of these on the fast day, regardless of when it is. And it's already, even from the times of the Gemara as such. El Arehu, because Shabbos is like Shabbos and everything else. And that is how we pass. You cannot prepare anything for after Yom Kippur at all. So, you know, you have a lot of these people, the wives don't stay for Ne'ilah, so we'll have everything ready when everybody comes home after the fast. That's mamish, not allowed, 100% not allowed to be done.
Unless you have someone sick at home, right?
Then. Someone sick at home, you're preparing food for them for Yom Kippur. But otherwise, you don't.
So there was no preparation until after the fast.
No preparation until.
Not you.
If the wives don't want to stick, want to stay home, so as soon as it's over, they can prepare. So when people, by the time people get home, if they want to do something wrong with it.
It's easy to prepare in advance.
You could just leave everything out.
Put in the refrigerator. Yeah. I mean, now you can do it. Now.
Yeah, but anyway, but you cannot. And that's the law.
So the custom of wishing people an easy fast.
No.
Does that contradict this business about it being
a meaningful fast?
I don't know where this custom came from.
I can see saying have a healthy fast.
I don't know.
You'll be well over the fast.
I just say have a Gemar Chasima Tolda. I don't know where this fast.
It's great of me to say easy because it just seems like
painful suffering.
Fast is a secondary thing. It shouldn't be the first.
In England, they say you should be well over the fast.
You should wish him a slow.
Just say Gemar Chasima Tolda. That's all.
That's right. Good end.
Or say good Yontif.
Good end.
It is a Yontif. That's it. I don't know where this easy fast is. It must be also this American business. Yeah.
Somebody chose this may have happened where they did not bring the food.
That's not a good idea. If they prepared it before, it's not a good thing.
Just have that West Melty Kiddush.
You'd have to wait a little bit. You'd have to at least wait the time it would take for it. Depends what they're doing. Are they cooking?
Put it out.
That could be a big problem.
It's all there.
That could be a big problem. And even if they're preparing it, you have to wait.
When they put the cakes out.
We just leave them out. That's just leave it. If you're having a goy doing it, Bein HaShmoshes is ready. There's a lot of hetayim ready. Right. Bein HaShmoshes is one heter. A goy is doing it, second heter.
A goy does it, eh?
Usually. The last couple of years, we have a goy who's doing it.
I know I cut the cake one year.
We should have all the. I mean, late this year the cakes were on the table even before, right?
Yeah, we just don't put on Yom Kippur because it's like torture. Put all the cakes on.
But
it's like the vegetables.
So that's good. It says it's kind of
exactly.
Maybe Rashi says it's the way to go.
Yeah.
Certainly. I mean,
but it's showing that.
It's not. You're not really preparing anything either.
No.
It's not like.
Preparing.
It's not like you're.
It's not preparing.
You know, you just put. Yeah. You're putting the cake's not mukta. So you're putting it on the table.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Like somebody's not well that they can for that person.
Whatever. Okay, Dalit. Mitzvah Saseh Acheres. There's another positive mitzvah. Yesh B'Yom Kippurim on Yom Kippur V'hi, and it is Lishbos Bo Me'achilu Shasiya, to refrain, to rest. That's how he's, look how he words it. To rest from eating and drinking. Think about it. He didn't say it's usur to eat and drink. He says to rest. Means to say you're taking a break from it. Just like you take a when you sleep, what's sleeping? You're resting from work. So now you're resting from eating. In other words, you're resting from things that take you away from the focus of the day. Shinemar is the pasuk says, "Tanuas nafsho sechem." You should afflict your souls. And what does that mean? If you ask Shmuel, the Gemara explains, "Ezo inu yishul nevesh." What is an affliction of the soul? Zehatzom, that is fasting, because that's what every soul depends on. If you don't eat and drink, you die. For all that somebody, anybody who fasts, kiyei mitzvah, you fulfilled another positive mitzvah. For all ha'oichol v'shoyesvah, who eats and drinks, batel mitzvah saseh has nullified a positive mitzvah, and also v'over alos saseh is transgressed a negative. Now it's interesting though, you will find nowhere in the Torah where it says you are not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, those words. It doesn't say that. What it does say is, Shenemar, it says, Ki kol ha-nefesh asher lo su'u nebet samayim ha-zeber nechse. Any soul that is not afflicted gets kares. Now, Now he's going to bring in a little bit of what we've been learning in the Gemara lately. Me'achas she'ana she'kasav of kares l'mishlos anano. The fact that Torah gives you kares for a guy who's not fasting, even though there's no negative written in the Torah, what do we deduce from that? Lomada, we learn she'musharim anubo al chishlo. There must be. We're warned to not eat and drink, because if we weren't warned, how can we get kares? So this is a unique situation where the Torah clearly says if you're not afflicting yourself and you be eating, you get kares, even though the Torah didn't give the warning of thou shalt not, but it must be an implied warning, like we already learned you could make certain xereshavas to imply it, but it clearly has to be implied, or there's no way the Torah could even consider giving you kares. Now the other afflictions that we'll see shortly of washing and anointing and shoes, etc., etc., that's only rabbinic in nature. The biblical prohibition is eating and drinking. The rest of the stuff has been added on rabbinically. Okay, now, what if you eat and drink unintentionally? You have to bring the regular statutory korban that has to be brought for a person who makes that error.
Can you be afflicting your body and not your soul? Soul doesn't need food.
No, the nefesh means the animalistic part of the person, which is the body.
Because that's how we're freeing the soul.
Which is the body.
Okay,
let's quickly, let's move on. V'chein l'madu v'yashmu, we also learn rabbinically. What do we have over there? Yeah. The Rambam says, it says five times in the Torah by Yom Kippur is you shall afflict yourself. So if it says five times you afflict yourself, there must be five different types of afflictions. But that's only a hint. In other words, eating and drinking, biblically, you can't do. But now the others are hinted to by the fact it says five times you should afflict yourself. So you add a few other things as well, which is, really, eating and drinking is one. Eating and drinking is one. So shasur lirchas, you can't wash your body. Bo, ola suchbo, or to anoint yourself. Olino as a sandal, or to wear comfortable shoes, olivo, or to be involved with intimacy, and there's all different kinds of psukim that explain that if you don't have that, that is called an affliction. And it's a mitzvah to refrain from all these the whole day, just like you refrain from eating and drinking. Shenemar, and this is Shelley where it says Shabbat Shabbaton. This is a double expression. Shabbat Shabbaton, Shabbos, Lini Achila, you refrain from what? Regarding eating, and Shabbaton for the other things beyond that. That's what the Shabbos Shabbaton says. The double expression, it's for eating you refrain from, and from all the other pleasures of person you refrain from. Ben chayovim kares, o korban el al chishri. But no kares and no korban, only by eating and drinking. The other four afflictions, if you violate it, you don't bring a korban, you don't do that. Because only rabbics, what happens? And rachas osacha, no. What if you did wash or anoint or wear shoes or have intimacy? Then makinoso makas martis, you get rabbinic lashes because it's really a rabbinic prohibition and you get lashed for that. But kishem sheshvus malacha, sheshvus malacha bo bein bayomu bein balayla, just again, not a lot of work. Regardless if it's night or in the day, because it's a 24 hours you have this. So so you have to have these afflictions day and night. Another important thing, the Tzarech Lahosi Mechol HaKodesh, Bichlin Sosbi, it says you have to add from the mundane to the holy as it comes in, it comes out. In other words, you have to start Yom Kippur a couple minutes at least before sunset.
Like,
and you have to extend it a couple minutes after the stars
so it's like
come out,
the Shabbos.
Right? But this is biblically implied. Shenemar, because it says, "V'nisem es nafshar seichem b'tisha l'chashver." It says, "You shall afflict your souls on the ninth of the month." And we know you don't afflict yourself on the ninth; it's the tenth. Kolomer, what does it mean to say, "Haschel atzum"? Begin to fast. Ulis anos me'aftisha. Begin at in the evening of the ninth. Coming into that means got to be a little bit of this. Now there's no set amount, as it were, but it is before Benesh Moshes, before twilight. Okay? That's when you're beginning. It could be a couple minutes. Alright? And obviously any lady who's lighting candles 18 minutes before is clearly in a safe zone, because that's well beyond. But you can't, you know, wait till that last minute.
The time that we say fast begins includes those extra minutes.
I'll have to double check. You know, usually I write candle lighting and fast begins. So really, really, it doesn't have to, but I'm a little strict. If I would write fast begins 3 minutes before, I'd be bad news.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. When we say fast begins...
But technically, if a lady lit candles and wasn't macabre yontif, and she'd come to the shul and there's 10 minutes to go before Yom Kippur, she could drink water if she wanted to. But you have to stop at least a couple minutes before. So that's what's happening.
Similarly, fast ends also tasting good.
Should be a couple minutes later, like a couple.
And the time the rabbi sets for that.
2-3 minutes, whatever. So I said it. No, well, no, but we're eating right after. I said it at 5:00 minutes, and then I make havdalah. So that's another minute or two, and then we're.
Then we dance a little bit.
I have to drink the grape juice. So.
Yeah, you have to.
But I mean, there are times that there's times that the young people
have to hold the show
42 minutes, 35 minutes. I usually go a couple minutes, always a couple minutes over for that reason. Really, I shouldn't be so honest. I should write that the fast ends 3 or 4 minutes later than when I write it. But whatever. But you know, in other words, the time we write, you should still keep it another 2 minutes. It's not the worst because I'm not going with the most lenient time to begin with. So even another 2 minutes will be fine. Let me just finish this halacha. I know. Let me just finish this line. We'll still be related. Okay? So therefore, klomar, haskel atzum, you should begin to fast with sanas merav tisha, asamach, so you should begin to fast at the night of the ninth coming into the tenth. V'chein v'yitzia, when it comes out, shohev v'inuyo, remain in the afflictions, mat a little bit, milela chadasar, going into the 11th, somach asir, close to the 10th. Shenemer, because it says, may erev ader, from the evening to the evening, tish besu shabbatchem, you should be resting this resting. So it started by saying, on the ninth you fast, so that's how you begin a little before. And from night to night you do this, just like the night before is a little before, so the night after is a little bit afterwards. Yes?
It was very quick. I don't know if I understood this correctly. If a person takes in Shabbos early, their fast begins at the same time?
Well, this Shabbos and Yom Kippur is going in together.
Right.
Well, again, if you're taking it in, once you take it in, it starts. Once you take it in, it's Yom Kippur. You can start Yom Kippur half an hour early. Once you can't say, I'm taking Yom Kippur, but I can still eat.
You started a plug.
Then
you
have
to plug if you want to.
You know, I think 6:06 is plug,
I
think.
You can't say, I'm taking in Shabbos this year and still eat.
Right.
Yeah, you can't say, I'm only taking Shabbos, I'm not taking Yom Kippur.
That's the request,
yeah. It's the same thing. Okay, Zion, let's just finish this parak. Nashim sha'aychlas v'shoysa shechasha. Aye, we see there are women who talk, eat, and drink right until the sun goes down. Mamish, without waiting. But v'hein edem yoda sha'mitzvah hosim chalchash. And they don't know there's a mitzvah to add a little bit. Listen to this. Ein mamach miyodem. You don't have to protest them. Why? Shlo yavo lasam son. She shouldn't bring them to do it unintentionally. Now, I know that's a very dangerous rule to throw around. So the Rambam has to qualify this. He says, "Shariyef shashia shota braveis kol echav echlas and shav." You can't be a policeman to warn every one of the ladies. And he says, "Vanachlam, it's better to leave them shishagim, let them be unintentional. Volume is in; they shouldn't be intentional. The chain kol adoimus, anything that's similar to this." Now we have to explain. There's two very important qualifications to this law that the Rambam certainly would agree with. Number one, he is only saying about this is a biblical law. To add the 2-3 minutes, it's not rabbinic, this is biblical, because we just showed you the psukim that showed you that you have to do this. So the rule is, when there's a biblical law, which is not expressly written in the Torah, then if a person is violating it unintentionally, you need not tell them. That's point one. And point two, only if you're certain that they won't listen to you.
That's when you hide it from them.
Only, so you have to have 2 points. It's a very important rule. Number one, only if it's a law that's not a biblical prohibition that was not specifically written in the Torah. That's A. And B, you're sure they won't listen to you. If it is expressly written in the Torah, like keeping Shabbos, then you have to protest if they're going to listen to you or not. Clearly. And even if it's not expressly written, but they might listen to you and you're not sure, then for sure you have to tell them as well. So that is the difference. Now, okay, we're not talking about secular Jews who, you know, you gotta be watch whatever you say because they could turn you off. You just bring them to a Shaggy Makar of them and you come into your house and you say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that. They're walking out there and never see them again. Obviously, we're talking about Jews who are observant Jews who should listen and should be listening, and that's when we say this. So this rule is an interesting rule, but not oft employed. Because it can only be something that's not written in the Torah overtly. There's not a lot like that, A, and B, only if you're clearly they're not going to do it. Now, we might say this by rabbinic cases. We may have a lot more leeway to see this in rabbinic areas. A rabbinic thing is already not usher from the Torah. So, and if they're not going to listen to you, then that could cause all kinds of problems. So, we'd be leaning in that area. We've done one parak today, and we've got to do one each day, gentlemen, to be able to
finish. So this wouldn't apply to lighting Shabbos.
What do you mean?
You couldn't not warn a woman to light Shabbos candles on time.
She has to do it.
Specifically stated.
She has to do it. That's a Chilul Shabbos.
That's specifically
stated. You're not allowed to be Machal Shabbos. You have to for sure tell them. Okay, a little extra Rambam today.